If you would this morning, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 16. And then when you find that, turn over to 1 Timothy, chapter number 3. Matthew chapter 16, and then 1 Timothy, chapter number 3. When we read these verses, you'll realize the subject matter this morning we'll be talking about and dealing with is just a little simple phrase. It's found in the passage in 1 Timothy, and we'll be dealing with the house of God. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a very important topic and subject in the Word of God, and especially in the day and age in which we live. I thought it was interesting this morning in Sunday school that I was going through all those different instruments that was in the sanctuary, that even in this small group that we have in our Sunday school classes, they was talking about the different types of instruments that we can use to praise the Lord. I was surprised we had so many that were able to play some of those things that's mentioned there. And Psalm 150, and it says, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." And so we have a lot of things that we can use in the house of God, and it ought to always be to honor the Lord. We had somebody that could play the trumpet. We had somebody that could play the clarinet. We had someone that could play the piano and the organ. We had someone that could play, the guitar. And we've got others in here that can do those things also. And so the Lord has blessed us with the very thing that He has told us that we are to praise Him with. And I think it would be great if y'all would get together and just learn a song. And I was talking to Brother Greg. He said, "Oh," I said, "I haven't done that in so long." I said, "That's okay. Practice." I can say that. My dad used to tell me, "Practice, son." And I hated the piano when I took it. I don't like to play it now. But I'm glad I can. I'm glad I have that ability. And but boy, I fussed until I got a piano when I was a child. I got that thing. Then I didn't want it. It was more than I bargained for. And I thought you'd just sit down there in 2 or 3 weeks, you'd be all right. And after about the third month, I said, "Dad, I don't think I want to do this anymore." He said, "I don't think you have a choice in it." And that was at the time my dad didn't make a lot of money. He sacrificed to to get that piano. And 10 years later, I could quit. And when I took lessons from the time I was 8 years old to the time I was 18. I could quit when I got 18. But I didn't want to later on, but I took those 10 years. And I'm glad I can play it, and I'm glad God gives talent to folks. And these things are given to us for a purpose and for a reason. Somebody said, "Oh, I don't have any talent at all. I can't do anything." Oh, yes, you can. The Scripture says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." We can sing, and we can respond, and we can have the joy of the Lord flooding in our heart and soul. And even in Psalm 150, it talks about that dance that David dealt with and talked about just the joy that ought to be in the house of God. And sometimes we come to the house of the Lord and we think we've got to be stiff and prim and proper, and we think we can't hardly move, and we're just stiff so bogged down by what people think worship is all about. But I'll tell you what, worship is how God deals in your heart and how you respond to that. And we're all different. And say, "Brother Bradley, you play something, don't you?" Trombone. And when I was a kid, I thought trombone was my favorite until I heard a trumpet. Then that became a favorite. Then I heard a clarinet. I just like them all. I like to listen. I love good music. And it's all to honor the Lord. And we're dealing this morning, and it falls right in line. We're dealing this morning about the house of God. And that's where we ought to rejoice and how that we can have blessings of the Lord. Look in Matthew chapter number 16. Very familiar verse to us. The Bible tells us here that the Lord had asked the different ones and His disciples who that the world around Him thought that He was. Some of them said, oh, they think you're Jeremiah, or you're John the Baptist, or you're Elias, or you're one of the prophets. And then Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And of course, Peter, as he does so often, speaks up. And Peter makes this great confession. He says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter was so correct in his assessment of who the Lord was. Thou art the Christ, that means the one and only. Thou art the Christ, the Son. You're the only Son of the living God. There's only one God. And so Peter was so correct in what he said about Jesus Christ. And then the Lord turns to him in verse 17 and says, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Verse 18, this is our text verse. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Here's the promise that the Lord made to the Apostle Peter. He said, Peter, the message that you have and the thoughts that you have about me has not come to your mind by your own thought process. It's not by flesh and blood that you receive this. This has come to you from the Lord. It's been revealed unto thee. And he says to Peter, upon this rock, and I believe Jesus was speaking unto himself and about himself. Jesus is that boulder. He's that foundational stone that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is to be built upon. If the church is built on anything else other than Jesus Christ, it is not a church. It will falter. It will fail. It will go out of existence, and the power will not be there. And so, Peter, you've received this from the God, from and has been revealed to you from the Lord. And he says, thou art Peter. And that word Peter there means he's just a small stone. Peter is just a pebble when compared to the things of God. And a pebble compared to the power and the prestige and the honor that Jesus Christ. And he says, Peter, you're just a small stone. But upon this rock, pointing to himself, Jesus said, I will, that's a positive promise, I will build my church. Now turn over to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. And we'll begin reading in verse number 14. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. The Word of God reads, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. Now we know this is the Apostle Paul writing to the young preacher Timothy. He says, I hope to come to you shortly. Verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Here's that little phrase that I want us to deal with this morning, the house of God. And then he describes this house of God, which is the church. Now there's the same word that's found in Matthew chapter 16. On this rock I will build my church. It's called the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Jesus is the Son of the living God that Peter gave that confession of. And then he tells us about this church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Now I want to maybe make a statement in introduction that I do not believe just because a person goes to a certain church does not make he or she a Christian. Just because you were in a particular denomination, that does not automatically make you a Christian. And there's a lot of people that say, you have to do this, and you have to be a part of this church, and you have to be a part of this particular group in order to make sure that you go to heaven. I'll tell you what, the only thing that makes sure you go to heaven is you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only prerequisite that God gives us concerning going to heaven, and that's to know His Son, the Lord Jesus. And so, the certain church does not make you a Christian or a non-Christian. What you believe about Jesus Christ will make you a Christian or a non-Christian, a believer or a unbeliever. And so, Timothy here is told by Paul that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, the truth that we have is found in this book that we hold before us. This book that we read every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and then I pray that you read it every day in your own personal devotion. That is the pillar and ground of the truth. And the church has been given over, the authority has given over the message to proclaim that truth. And when we falter, when we fail, then the truth goes, and sometimes the crown of truth has fallen. Sometimes even in the streets, and people do not know what truth is. But I want us to deal this morning about the house of God. Some things that the Scripture tells us, that the Bible gives us understanding about this place that's called the house of God, which is the church of the living God. And just because a place calls itself a church does not necessarily mean that it is the church that is correct or right. There's a lot of churches, there's a lot of thoughts, there's a lot of ideas. And then, of course, there's a diversity of all those things that are out there. And we're not here, I'm not here this morning to say this one's right or this one's wrong or this one is whatever, and I'm the only one that's right. I found out down through the years of my preaching, a lot of things I've preached, I have not always had complete truth on that, have not always said the right things, and I've changed my mind on some things. And so that is possible to do. And so we find here that this morning I want us to just sort of describe this sanctuary of God that was spoken of in Psalm 150 that we studied in our Sunday school lesson, and then the church that's in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, and now the house of God that's found in 1 Timothy chapter number 3, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. What is this church? I'm not going to get into a lot of the details of what all the different scriptures about what the church is, but I want to give you some overview of the actions and the things that the church ought to be in the area where God has put that particular church. Now, I believe with all my heart that God put Grace Baptist Church right here at that particular time when He did, for a purpose and for a reason, and that was to proclaim the gospel individually here and collectively around the world to tell people that Jesus saves. That's the reason that we that's the reason we survive. That's what's all about, is that we will tell the world that there is a Lord and there is a God one day that shall be met. I want us to look at some four or five things this morning, and very simple, easy things about the house of God and what it is and how it operates. First of all, I want us to think about the church of the Lord or the house of God as a lighthouse. Now, we all know we've seen the pictures of lighthouses as the sea waves break on the rocks of different areas, and there's many many lighthouses around our country. I have visited some. I'm sure you have seen some personally. And they're monuments there, and they may not be used now as much as they were in days gone by, but they were there for a purpose, and they were to provide a light where that people that were coming toward that particular place would realize there is land ahead. They didn't have the GPS 150 years ago, 200 years ago. They didn't have the GPSs or directions and maps as we have. And when they would get close to a land, they would see a flashing light. It was from that lighthouse. And that lighthouse was to warn them and was to tell them that there was danger approaching if they continued to come toward that. Now, you and I this morning, as a part of the local congregation that we call the church, we have the same responsibility. We have the same responsibility to go and to send forth a light into the darkness of the night. And we certainly, spiritually speaking, we are in a dark hour. Our world is very dark when it comes to spiritual understanding and the understanding of God's Word. We live in a dark world. But I'm glad to thank God churches can be a lighthouse for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we can send forth the glorious gospel. The song that we have in our songbook, Send the Light, Send the Light, Send the Glorious Gospel Light. And we can do that as a Christian. There's a song in our songbook, I don't remember the title to it, but it talks about as we come to close to the raging, and the raging sea brings us to the place of danger, that the lighthouse is there to proclaim and to warn us and to show us how that we can escape the danger that is ahead. I was glad one day that I was in a place that I could hear the gospel. You know what that church did? It was a lighthouse. It sent forth the gospel. It sent forth the message that Jesus Christ was the way of escape, and we were to be warned of the impending danger and the impending judgment that came upon man, that comes upon mankind, because they're lost without the Lord, they're lost without God. And we as a church of Jesus Christ, and we as an individual person, an individual Christian, we're to send forth that light and to tell them and to warn them there's a judgment that one day will be faced. There's a day that we'll stand before God. It's appointed a man wants to die after this. The judgment. Can't escape that. Can't get away from that. You can't buy your way out of that. It's appointed a man wants to die. We're all going to die. We don't want to. We say we're ready. And I've heard preachers and different ones say, well, it'd be all right with me today. But they get a heartache. They go to the doctor that day because they don't want to die. God has put it within our nature that we desire to live. You see, when God breathed into man, he became a living soul. And he desires to live, even though we're dying and we're wearing down and we're deteriorating and things just not like maybe they used to be. It's a sign that we're going toward the grave. It's appointed a man wants to die. But just as sure as we're going to die, we're going to stand before God and wants to die, and after that, the judgment. This morning, the lighthouse, the house of God, the church of the living God, should send forth that light that shines through the darkness. How many of you, I'm sure some of you have seen that commercial. I don't remember what the commercial is about, but I do remember they've got a light out there a long way out and says the human eye can see that light 10 miles away. I told Sharon, I said, I'd like to get in a flat place just to see if I could see a candlelight 10 miles away. I have my doubts about that. That's a commercial. But there is a light that shines and it dispels the darkness. Darkness has to flee when the light goes forth. And we as a child of God, we as the church, the house of God, we certainly are to proclaim that light. We're to warn the world, and our light is to shine through the darkness that people might see the truth concerning eternity. For the most part, people today have very little thoughts about eternity. Have a lot of thoughts about tomorrow. Have a lot of ideas, a lot of plans for next week. I do too. Have plans for next month. Have plans for next year. But we don't think too much about plans for eternity. But you know what? Eternity is going to come just like tomorrow may come. Eternity is going to be here before us before we realize it. It will be upon them quicker than others. And so we find that the church, the house of God, should shine a light into the darkness that others might see the impending judgment and the impending danger of being without the Lord. I'm afraid too many in our day and time are dimming the lights or changing the lights and not doing as they should. And sometimes the churches are trying to change now to fit our society. That's the wrong way. We ought to be out in society changing them to fit the house of God and to fit the things of God's Word. So the house of the Lord that Jesus was talking about, upon this rock I'll build my church, is a church that's a lighthouse to send forth the gospel. Jesus said, I send you, I thrust you into the harvest fields. And here we find that Paul says that it's the pillar and ground of the truth. Not only is it a lighthouse, but, well, this is important, it's a schoolhouse. It's a place of learning. It's a place that we come together to learn the ABCs. Oh, I'm not talking about our alphabet. I'm talking about the ABCs of the Word of God. I'm talking about the things that God has for us in the Scripture. And you can say, well, I can study at home, and you need to study at home. I can get these truths at home. I don't need the church. Well, I'll disagree with you there. Every believer needs the house of God. And so the reason for it is that we come together and it is a schoolhouse to train us and to show us right and wrong and to help us and to guide us. You see, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Doesn't say the internet is. Doesn't say the televangelist is the pillar and ground of truth. It says the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. It is the responsibility of this church to make sure that we preach and teach truth according to God's Word. That our generation to come and the generation after that to come, that they will know the same thing we knew and they can come to know God like we know Him and trust Him. And because of the learning and the growing in the grace of God, and you get in a schoolhouse, you get in a classroom, you have to listen. You have to have the attitude that I want to have this desire. I know sometimes children in school here, they have a lacking desire. they don't like it as much as I wish they would. But every once in a while, there's some that really grasp for the learning. Every once in a while, there's some that's not satisfied with mediocre. Every once in a while, there's some that doesn't want a B when they can have an A. Some doesn't want a 95 when they can have a 100. I mean, they work for it. They struggle for it. They desire to have that. There are some that you say, well, you've done pretty good. No, it's not good enough. Now, they're few and far between, but the classroom, the church, is a place that we learn and we grow and we listen so that we can tell others about truth. You see, it's all because that Jesus Christ is our Lord and we desire others to know Him and to trust Him and to have the same opportunity that we have to become a child of God. And so this lighthouse that we are as on a hill, the Scripture says you don't put your light under a bushel, you don't put it under a tub, you don't put it where the light can't be seen. You take that off so the world around can see the light. And when they see that light, they come now to learn and to grow. And all of a sudden, the lighthouse becomes a place of knowledge. It becomes a place of understanding. Somebody said, well, I just can't understand the book. I can't understand your Bible. I don't understand it all either. I've been studying the Bible for around 50 years. I've been preaching since 1969, 1970. And so we find you never come to total truth. You never come to a complete understanding and comprehension, but you're always trying to learn, always trying to grow, always wanting to listen, always wanting more, grasping for more, because in that I'm learning to walk closer to our Lord. And we follow after Him. So the lighthouse that sends forth the gospel has now become the schoolhouse where we learn. There are so many people here in our community and around our country. They've gotten to the lighthouse. They have got the things settled about their soul and they've trusted the Lord and they're Christians, but they've sort of faltered and somebody has not taught them as they should. And they haven't gone to school as they should, and that's why everything runs rampant in our country. That's why everything is believed. That's why something new sometimes is more exciting than something that we know. That's why something that comes off of the wall of some silly man's idea. I heard somebody this week talking interviewing a fellow that he says he's Jesus Christ and he's the resurrected Lord and has a following worldwide. You know why that is? One reason, because they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They're not saved. They're following somebody else that's not saved. Or there are some that maybe have never really gone to the school, never have gone and learned, and have no understanding of what it's all about other than, I ask the Lord to save me, and I'm a Christian. And they falter and fail. And they do not grow. They do not learn. They do not have the ability to go forward. So the church is a lighthouse. It's a schoolhouse. And it's also a controlled atmosphere. That's called a greenhouse. It's a controlled atmosphere. Whether we want to admit it or not, and I know sometimes folks ridicule us, but this church is a controlled atmosphere of what we have. It's controlled by who we are. It's controlled by what we believe. It's controlled by leadership. We're not going to let somebody come in here and preach some fallacy to you. I'm not going to let somebody stand behind this pulpit that I know will teach something that is totally off the wall and totally foreign to the Word of God. That would be terrible on my part as pastor. And so it's a controlled atmosphere so that we can learn more and grow more and do more and go more for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's where strength is given. If you ever watch the greenhouses that provide our plants to us in the spring, you know when they're planted? They're planted in the winter. They're planted when they have to have a controlled atmosphere. Some of you, I've listened this year. Some of you, and always do, you start your little plants at home. You put the seed in the ground, a tomato seed, and you grow your own plant, and you control the atmosphere, you control the weather, you control no harshness on those tender plants. And I'll tell you what, a child of God that's just truly newly been born again, they're like a tender plant. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to say. They don't know where to go. And so we need to have a place that is controlled where we teach them so they can have strength in their life and have strength in their service to the Lord so that we can do something for God rather than just sit around and wish we were able and wish we could do. And so this house of God, and I know I'm just taking sort of a scattergun thing, and there's a lot of things in the Bible about the church, and we're not getting into those details that we could and have done before, but I'm just trying to give you an overall view of what the church ought to be. It ought to be a lighthouse. It ought to be a schoolhouse. It ought to be and should be a greenhouse where that we take the tenderness and take the plants and take the honors of God's people and teach and train them so they can be nurtured and grow and become a full-grown adult in the things of God. Paul says there's too many babes in Christ. Paul said there in Corinthians, he said, I'd like to feed you with meat. I'd like to feed you with more solid substance. He said, you're just like a babe in Christ. You can't not take that. That'd be like taking a newborn baby and putting a T-bone steak in front of them, saying, there you go, hope you do okay. That's not the way it works. We have to take the milk first. But as the milk is taken and as the baby is fed and is nurtured, all of a sudden, that little boy or that little girl, they think, I believe I want a hamburger. And what they're doing, they're growing. All of a sudden they take solid food. And that solid food turns into something more solid and more solid. And all of a sudden, that little boy and girl that didn't cost you too much for a jar of baby food now says, I want to go to, you name it. I want to go to Longhorn. My grandson, he said, I want to go to where they sell seafood. That's the worst place to go. And so all of a sudden, this little child that could not take much is now able to eat strong meat and able to digest it and take it in. You know what it does? It makes them grow. I took a bunch of boys this week to get some basketball shoes. Every one of them, just almost every one of them, has a bigger foot than I've got. I couldn't believe it. Here's these eighth graders, seventh graders, 12th graders. One little boy, he's in seventh grade. He said, I think I wear a 10. I said, what? A 10? And he tried it on. He said, I think I need a 10 and a half. And we got some in here that wears much more than that. Josh, what size are you? That's what I thought. Eighth grader, 13 size shoe. And so we grow. Sometimes we grow disproportionately. I've done that. But it's all because we have nourishment. We don't stay on the milk. We don't stay on the little stuff. We grow up and we eat solid food, strong food. And Paul says to the church of Corinth, he said, you're still on the milk of the Word. I can't give you the meat. And so the church that is a lighthouse that sends the gospel becomes a schoolhouse that we can learn, now becomes a greenhouse so that we can have strength to go forward and to tell people about the Lord. And then fourthly, it becomes and should be a powerhouse. The Holy Spirit of God came down on the day of Pentecost and I believe literally engulfed that church and it became a powerhouse for God. There's a righteous power. There's power in activity. There's the real power. Power from the Lord to run the distance and to go the second mile. And to go a little farther than maybe we had before. It becomes a powerhouse because we get enjoying the things of the Lord. We become involved in the things of God. We get excited about the things of the Lord. I'm afraid sometimes we lose our excitement and all of a sudden we're just not as happy, not as active, not as joyous as we once were. Well, the church ought to be a powerhouse to help us to have those things. So you see, there's a lot of activities when you say house of God. And then lastly, before you say anything, let me make all things clear. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. It says it's a storehouse. That means it's things that we bring in. It's not all taking in and taking out. Sometimes it's us bringing back. And the house of God is a storehouse. I know what you're thinking. Here he goes. Going to talk about money. Very little. In the... Ever how many years? 28 years that I've been pastor. I've been here longer than that. But the 28 years that I've been pastor, I believe I can count on one hand how many times I've preached on giving and tithing. I believe you preach the Word of God. God takes care of those things. But the house of the Lord, according to the book of Malachi chapter 3, Malachi said, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse. I know that's an Old Testament message. I know it's an Old Testament term. Bring ye the tithe. And the Lord made very clear in the Old Testament that the tithe is the 10% of what we have, or what we have in our, bring into our life. But Jesus, or the New Testament, Paul says, this, bring as the Lord has prospered you. It might be more than 10%. But the house of God is a storehouse. Now, let's get off of that part. I think there's more things to be stored in the house of God than just money. Now, you know as well as I do, these lights don't run for anything, for nothing. Well, last winter, oh my goodness, y'all suffered at home. One of our bills, I forgot what it was. What was the highest bill, Vicki? You remember? $3,000 or $4,000 just to stay warm. That doesn't just happen. The church is a place where we bring so we can pay our bills, our water bill, light bill, insurance. Insurance comes up every December or January and it's $10,000 that fast. It real fast, you know, heart don't hurt too bad. So we bring our tithes to the storehouse so we can do what God has told us to do. We send out probably $3,500 a month just to missions. And those folks depend upon us doing our part. But there's more to store in God's house than just money. May God help us never to think that that's all it's about. Some people come in here and say, don't you ever take up an offering in here? We haven't taken up one a long time. They stand back at the back and folks give. But we store in the house of God the treasures of what God's blessed us with. We bring them in, we share them with each other. I enjoy hearing people say, I have a praise today. You know what you brought in? You brought in a treasure. Well, the Lord did this for me this week or yesterday. And you brought in a treasure. It's a storehouse. I was thinking this morning about when we were talking about praising the Lord. I have some treasures up here that God has given me because of folks that have been in this church. They're not here now. Some have all already gone to glory. But I have their memories. I have their, sometimes their amens and their shouts echo through my mind. And that's a treasure that's been brought in to this storehouse. May God help us to know that we're not in this thing alone. We have each other. We have the house of God. We have the people of the Lord. And that we should honor His presence because He gave us a light. Somebody sent out a light for you one day. Go back in your mind the day you got saved, there was a lighthouse. Oh, it might not have been a church as such. It might have been just an individual. But there's a lighthouse. Go back into your mind and think about some things that you know now that you did not know then. Somebody's taught you. Thank God for Sunday school teachers. They teach us. Somebody helped to control what we heard. Somebody controlled our life to the point that we heard truth coming from the pulpit. Someone would tell us, you ought to read this book. That's a good book. Don't read that book. It's a bad book. Had a young man text me the other day. He's a graduate from here. And he texted me and said, can you give me some ideas of some good books that I need? He's a young preacher. He said, I've read enough of those I don't need. And we ought to be a greenhouse to give strength, schoolhouse to give learning, a powerhouse to show forth the power of God, and then bring our storehouse. The blessings that God has given us, when God blesses you, you ought to share it with somebody else. It helps. Somebody says, oh, I don't want to brag. No, I'm not talking about bragging. I'm talking about blessings from the Lord. When God blesses us, it blesses others when we tell it. I've heard so many blessings from some of you that you didn't even realize maybe it blessed my heart. But just the things that you say, the things that you said about God did this for me this week, just in passing, just in talking, that's bringing in things to the storehouse. What a wonderful possession we have of those things. May God help us this morning to be the house of God, the pillar, ground of the truth. May God help us to be and to realize that we're built on a foundation. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. And He's building it even yet today. And He'll build it until that last one comes into the kingdom of the Lord. He ushers us out of here. He's the builder. He's the foundation. May God help us this morning to be what we ought to be in the house of God. Let's stand.